It's gorgeous. Let's hop on the 7 line, shall we? We cruise west down to Morton Street, take a right turn north into the Fernandez Plaza. Into City Hall we go. We knock on the door, and there is our great friend, Mayor John Hamilton, who joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05. A little bit warmer than yesterday, and of course, yeah, 80s tomorrow. It's just it's a world we live in, isn't it?
You got to just check your phone before you get to your closet, right?
I don't have it figured out. Your closet has to be a walk-in into a walk-in because you have to have all four seasons ready to go in the drop of a hat.
It keeps us fresh.
It sure does.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful day today. So.
Now, we have seen with the farmer's market, the mayor at the market, when you guys started on the first day of April, you were almost blown away as temperatures that day were not very good. And then last Saturday, it is 75 and absolutely perfect. So Alex Crawley drew the right straw last week on that. And then this Saturday, it's not even going to get into the 50s and it's going to rain. So, boy, oh boy. Well, that's all right. The show goes on. You know what likes it? The farmers bring need water. So that's
rain
that's
or shine. Rain or shine. We'll be there. Mayor's Market. Mayor at the Market will continue.
Get your gear on and enjoy that Saturdays from 8 until 1. You will let me know the next time you will be the featured guest at the market. But we've got plenty of things to do today. And sadly, as we heard from Diane Daly's update there at the top of the hour, two Indiana University students were found in 18 feet of water after going missing on Saturday from a boat party. That gives it a negative connotation, but a big boat with a lot of people on it. And an awful reminder that as we roll into the world's greatest college weekend and Bloomington swells up with folks from, just about everywhere for social gatherings, bike races, and everything else, we all need to help each other out and be safe. The forecast I've just given you, well, your public safety folks are going to have to be ready for all kinds of anything because we know the city will grow this week and this weekend, and we hope everybody has a responsibly safe time.
Yeah, you know, our public safety folks prepare for this. They've been planning for it, of course, working together with Indiana University and our police department and, frankly, several of the law enforcement agencies around us, too. We got a lot of people. We look forward to a great weekend, but as you said, you know, gravity or water or bad actors can strike in a moment, and it's really important to watch out for each other. Watch out, you know, just taking care of each other and being common sense about it. We'll have a lot of police officers out, but they can't be everywhere, and so we all just need to keep an eye out for each other.
Exactly right, and our law enforcement are in the I don't want this to sound poorly, but it's true. They're in the prevention business, but as you mentioned, you can't prevent everything. And we hope the reactionary part of that, if we could help them not have to be as reactionary, that would be great as well. And just being smart, keeping your head on a swivel, doing the right things, it's not that hard. And I think there's maybe a misconception, Mayor Hamilton, that the police on these weekends are looking to bust people. They're looking to keep people safe.
That's exactly right. We, you know, a good weekend is when nobody gets hurt. And when you have a bunch of people together, the police are focused, as all the public safety folks are focused on, trying to make sure everybody stays safe. Occasionally you do have to stop somebody from outrageous behavior, and we will do that for sure. But whether it's, you know, whether it's parties that get out of control, whether it's behaviors that are rambunctious or dangerous, or people who get, you know, inebriated so far that they can't protect themselves, and it just means we're all community police this weekend. How about that? It's community policing.
It makes sense, and if you stick out from the crowd this week, you've done something to earn it. That's what I tell people all the time. They're not looking. They don't want people in the street. They don't want people laying down and doing things like that or jumping on. No, just if you have
enjoy
to
enjoy the butt, enjoy the right. races, enjoy each other,
enjoy the party, enjoy the get together, but don't stick out like a sore thumb. Now we talked last week and the week before about putting a stop sign in three ways of the three ways at 7th and 7th and Dunn Street. We've seen the numbers about how many reported accidents or whatever there were over that. Has the feedback been what for the orange waving flags and well, those red octagons? They don't have to say anything. We all know what those mean.
Yeah, we're supposed to.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, Mike. You know, in a city like this, like any community, you are always tweaking and monitoring and watching how things are going. Behaviors change, technologies change, attitudes change. So with the 7 line, we took out 5 stop signs to help facilitate bus traffic and bike traffic and pedestrian traffic. And pedestrians are safer today on the 7 line path than they were a year ago or 2 years ago. So that's a good thing. But we did see car-on-car vehicle collisions that went up a little bit, and in particular on that one intersection. And so we went through the public process, and, you know, people, we go through the Bike and Ped Commission, we go through the Traffic Commission, it goes to the City Council, and we give data and recommendations, and we tweak things. So this is a tweak. We'll see how it goes and what it does as we added a stop sign. The way the law works, the city engineer can do that for 180 days on our own, but for permanency, we have to have the City Council action. So I expect in a few months, we'll have a little more data. We'll go to the City Council and ask them to either keep it permanent or change something else or whatever. But, you know, whether it's the schedule on Kirkwood of closing of those places, what times of day, whether it's the scooters and where they can go and what times of day, we're always kind of tweaking. That's what you do in a city.
Well, and again, you're right. Nothing is why set anything in stone? That's just a lot of carving costs that you have to redo and redo and redo. No, it makes sense, and we'll get a better understanding of perhaps this week and the next two are the most perhaps voluminous until everybody moves back in that middle to second to third week in August, and then you've got football season. So you're gonna that 180 days is going to tell you a lot, isn't it?
It will. We'll see what it looks like. And you know, I will tell you that I'm also a little cautious about leaping too quickly with data. And, you know, you can have a spate of 5 accidents that come from, you know, one knucklehead home.
Absolutely.
That just keeps making mistakes, you know, and you don't want to change your whole city because of that. So I think we want to be patient about it. The 7 line's doing a lot of really good things. I'm confident in the long run it's going to be a beautiful east-west connector that'll be really important, and it's great right now from the B-line to the campus. But you know, we'll take time. We'll take it step at a time and see how it works, and if we need to tweak it, we will.
And speaking of tweaking things, we spoke about this briefly last week, but the scooter issue, well, that's been ongoing tweaking because you have a little town meeting gown and geofencing and when can we do this and that, stand up, sit down. Well, right. the modems of transportation are changing. And there are all kinds of things that are out there. What is our plan moving forward?
You know, I think it's really constant evolution. You know, 5 years ago we didn't have any of these things, right? 5 or 6, I don't know exactly. I can't remember exactly when they came in, but in my administration they showed up, and we will continually monitor their use. As I've told you, they've had more than 1 million rides. People are really using these things to get around town, and that's a good thing. People want to use them, but we now don't let them be used basically from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Because we looked at darkness and where accidents were happening. We are increasing the ratio of sit-down scooters because those are safer, and if we find out they're way safer, we can keep changing that ratio. Right now, I think it's 1 to 3. We got to have 1 sit down for every 3 stand up, something like that. IU is looking at the geofencing that you mentioned too, because they cause real problems at big football games or basketball games or those kind of gatherings. So, look, I think we want to have a steady but a light touch, from my perspective, to regulate and control We're ready to fine again. We've been, you know, we're getting money from the scooter companies every month, every year for their access to our city so that we can keep an eye on it, and we'll keep an eye on it. It's all a balance, I think.
And it has to be monitored, because if you don't measure it, you're not going to know what's going on.
That's right.
Either.
That's
so, what is the headache with the scooters? Has it been the use of which day part? Or were there? I know for a while there they were just left randomly throughout.
Yeah.
Is anything getting better? And what would we like to improve upon?
Yeah, so I think it's, you kind of have a hierarchy. The very top level is safety. Again, trying to make sure nobody gets killed or hurt. We had two deaths related to scooters. One was a scooter rider who crashed himself on a sidewalk. Another was a scooter rider who got run over. Did nothing they could have done. So then we look at injuries. So the first level is how do we make sure people are safe? Speeds, more sit downs, looking at improved models of scooters, those kinds of things. The next level, I think, really is, are they impeding other people? Like, as you said, if they get left on the sidewalks, are they interrupting accessibility? Are they interrupting pedestrians and other uses, and trying to make sure we can all get along? That's a common issue in the city, whether it's on the B-line and bicyclists riding there, or whether it's, you know, bicycles on sidewalks downtown. We take lots of steps to try to make sure we can all get along. And that's constant, whether that's the geofencing, so that if there are too many scooters showing up at a basketball game, we don't want that to happen. So there's a whole lot of, like, let's make sure we all can use all the space as well as we can. And then lastly, I suppose it's just kind of convenience. Like, if people want to use them, we generally want to let people do things if they are useful to them. So we just try to balance all those things. But the safety is the top priority, and that's really what's driven some of the latest things, nighttime usage and speed on IU campus and other things like that.
Well, and the other part of this, just so I can help people who perhaps don't understand, who are listening or who I run into on the street, where can I ride a scooter? I think there's some consternation here about, oh geez, they're on the sidewalk, they're in the middle lane, I'm trying to drive. Nobody seems to understand where we can use a, just not in my backyard, buddy. That's where you can't use one. Not in my backyard.
Well, they're generally treated like bicycles.
Okay, so well, that makes some sense. If you don't like my driving, stay off the sidewalk. I get you. I get it.
And, you know, we have restrictions on bicycles and scooters being used on downtown sidewalks in order to protect the shared use by everybody else. These are crowded sidewalks. But bicyclists do sometimes find a sidewalk or a side path, which is a different thing, though most of us would think of them as the same thing, can be the safer alternative for folks. But generally, we're regulating them like bicycles with an extra layer because of this safety. We don't have our restrictions on bicycles. We don't have, you know, parking, geofencing for bicycles and all that kind of stuff. But with these rental companies, we do have more restrictions on the scooters.
And Indiana University has different rules, which we don't need to go through today, but is that...
They set their own rules.
Right, so having a working partnership with them is very important, so the left hand knows what the right hand is doing.
And that's been really good. We've worked very closely on the scooters, and, you know, I think we all are trying to compromise so that we can reflect our fundamental interests, but also, you know, you don't want to be like in, you're crossing a international boundary when you're going onto campus either. You know, you want to be able to move flow back and forth.
International waters, that's right. Time to get the casino out. Yeah, get the casino up and running. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. We try to get it all figured out here on Tuesdays. We always have bunches and bunches of things to talk about. And, well, your grant went through for $3 million. The council took care of that last week. What's the next step in that process now? That's going to be a busy area over there. Let's see, that would be Morton and 11th Street and Rogers and Maker Way and all that fun stuff. That's going to be a hot area down the road.
That's picking up. To remind us, kind of go into context, when I came into office in 2016, that was basically an empty space. and a hope and a dream for a trades district. We started with a couple things. One was the mill, and the other was the Beeline Heights with some affordable apartments. And, you know, the mill is now the state's fastest growing co-work space. We put millions of dollars into that, into the infrastructure to build out those roads and water infrastructure and all. The Beeline Heights is a great affordable housing project right there on the west side of Rogers. We've now got the administration building, which is a wonderful restoration underway. We have the kiln building, another restoration underway on either side of the mill. And this next step is a really big one, which just got approved last week, is substantial money, both local and federal grant money that we competed for and got, will build kitty corner to the mill, a kind of a mill 2.0 graduation space that is for more permanent offices, a little larger scale, continue the programming closely with IU and our tech sector to help grow the part of the new economy. It's a beautiful building. There are renderings you can check out online. And now we've got the money in place. We're ready to pull the trigger and break ground. I hope sometime when before the ground freezes, you know, this summer, I think we'll be at it.
And, well, once it starts, you got the new parking garage over there on 10th Street. You
right,
got all that
stuff
going
right.
on. So, yeah, very, very exciting times with that. And if you don't like anything we're talking about, or you love everything we're talking about, or you're just right in the middle, you can fill out the survey at the city. We've been talking about this, the scientific part more so, the last couple times we visited. And we told everybody that if you weren't selected in the scientific survey, you could still become a part of it. And whammo, here we are.
We opened it up today, so yeah, really anybody, we'd love any resident to fill out a survey. It takes 10, 15 minutes. I've done them before. Once I got it mailed to me, that was exciting as a randomly selected person, but not this year. So please jump on there. You know, it's got tons of questions about city services, your sense of what you like about the city, what you don't. We really do use that data as we're building our budgets. I know the council looks at it. It's different departments use it. It helps us see trend lines. It helps us compare ourselves to cities around the country. What do people think about Ann Arbor versus here? What do they think about Boulder versus here or Springfield, Illinois or Columbus? How does it compare to how our people view our city? And it's all really instructive. So jump online, spend a few minutes, and we really appreciate it.
And that's all anonymous, or can you make it?
It's all anonymous. All anonymous.
That's even better. Then you tell us how you really feel. That's. But it's you're just not part of the scientific survey, so that's the only difference in this. Your voice will always be heard, and we always tell you if you hear anything or do it, you don't even have to wait for any survey. You can just go online, bloomington.in.gov.
Yeah. And.
Yeah, let it have it.
And by the way, the last three surveys are also available if you want to look at that and see what your peers, what our fellow residents think about various things and trend lines and that. So that if you want to do that anytime, maybe before or after you do the survey too, you can look at that.
And, yeah, just, again, if you want your voice heard, there's multiple ways to do it, and you can find all of those ways to be stand up and be counted. Easy as that.
I think there's even an election coming, isn't there?
Well, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Have you voted yet?
I have not. I'm
okay.
Going to vote, I think late next week, but
okay.
I probably will vote early. But have you?
I've not yet, and I'm outside the city, so I'm out of this one anyhow.
Oh, Mike, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, I tried to get my wife to move, and she said. But I just wanted to, everybody I have spoken with or have seen on social claims it is an absolute breeze in a good way. There's plenty of spots to park. There's only one place to do it, so there shouldn't be any confusion on where to go. But we will remind everybody who is voting early that the only place you may do so is 302 South Walnut Street. And if you wait till election day, if you're new to town or new to Indiana, you must vote at your precinct. We do not have voting centers or that one convenient place on your way to work. It doesn't work that way. So let's make sure.
Unfortunately, it doesn't. But you're right. It doesn't. That's important.
We can buy and I can buy and sell a house in Florida for my for my family room, but we can't. Yeah, that is an interesting.
That's another issue.
That's another interesting thing. Well, speaking of, well, let's do the fun stuff, and then we'll wrap up with maybe a different angle on some other things. You have been wearing out the John Waldron Art Center here over the last couple of months. This has held your State of the City speech, and last Thursday, I believe it was, had the Be More Awards. Did you have a sellout crowd on hand? I knew it was getting pretty close to being packed.
It was really fun. You know, that's a 40-plus year tradition of recognizing volunteers in the city, and it was a room full of wonderful people. I say they giving love notes to the city every day, even, you know, by what they do, they're taking care of things. It was really fun. 8 different awards, and people all talked about what they did, from immigration support to literacy work to library folks and what they do, and animals, shelter, and I mean, it's, you know, the whole gamut, and it was really fun, and it's a great feeling, and reminds you how many people do so many good things every day in Bloomington.
And those are just the award winners. They had to choose from all of those great people and narrow it down, and they each won $1,000 that went to their cause, which is just a great way to, again, prop up and help some of our local organizations that make Bloomington and Monroe County a better place for all of us. Now, there are some people in the state legislature who aren't thrilled with Bloomington and Monroe County, and I know you've read a little bit about that this week, and obviously so have I, and seeing some folks in Indianapolis say, hey, you've collected this food and beverage tax, we gave you the means to do so, what are you doing with it? What are we going to do to get it moving forward? Is that something we need to be concerned about, or is that something we're more concerned about once it goes into a bill that gets signed by the governor? Tell me about how the system works. Who's concerned? Why are they concerned? And how is it going to affect? Maybe not you. You might be out of office by the time this all happens. But what did we learn, if anything, from all of that?
Well, you know, I'm a proponent of local fiscal control, which we don't have. So many states in the country do, where your local jurisdictions have quite a bit of flexibility to do what we need to do to help make our communities thrive. And that's why we have elections locally, and if people don't like what's going on, they can change what's going on. But instead, we have kind of a paternalistic structure here where state government often can and does limit what we can do or second-guess what we can do. Look, the food and beverage tax, which was passed by our democratic process several years ago, has produced funding that's actually one of the issues came up was they didn't like what we did with that money during the pandemic.
I was going to ask you about that as well, but go ahead. Yeah, right on.
Yeah, and you know, we that money is to help support the entertainment and the visitor section of our economy, so restaurants and arts organizations and the things that help people visit and encourage people to visit, including a convention center. Well, we helped those industries, those businesses, get through the pandemic. Some of them were going to fail. Some of them did fail. And we used the money very appropriately. We all checked with lawyers. Everything's fine. And some people now are looking back saying, oh, that wasn't what we originally wanted you to do with it. But we're very comfortable. I know the city and the county both did that. Now, the bigger question of using it for a convention center, we're still working on it. It's not done. None of the money's been wasted. None of the money's ready to go. If for some reason it wouldn't happen, then there are plenty of other things to use that for, from, you know, Karst Farm soccer fields to improving parks to supporting new arts venues, or there's all kinds of stuff that could be done. But my view is the legislature, just leave us alone. We know what we're doing. We don't need your guidance. And half the time it's people who have no experience in city management or city affairs, really, too.
How do these people get involved in these affairs? I think that's the other thing that caught my attention. Marty Hawk and I were discussing this last week, and I'm like, well, is somebody going over this? And her angle and answer, I believe, was, and I could go back and listen to our interview at WGCLradio.com, was something to the fact that she thinks that somebody approaches the people in these committees and says, here's what's happening here, can you help us? How does that game work? How is that game played?
Well, look, a lot of this is political gamesmanship, and it's people kind of looking to make a point either for themselves or against somebody else. And you know, posturing. I don't have to, I think, probably tell people that politicians sometimes do things for their own purposes. I think it's unfortunate. I think at the local level, we're pretty focused on trying to get good things done, and we don't tend to get on TV very often or that kind of thing. No offense against radio. I love radio. But we're not mugging for a camera somewhere.
Right.
I do think also you have a legislature that's dominated by rural interests and very conservative interests, often which is looking for a way to make a point about taxes or about blue cities that are doing things they don't like on plastic bags or on zoning or whatever. And it's really unfortunate. Our state needs to be diverse. Our state needs to thrive. We have to have all kinds of different ways for people to thrive and choices. And so sometimes it's looking for a solution they have, and they're looking for a problem where they can use it. Or if every tool you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail, let's just go whack it. So we get pretty scared when these things happen, but we'll watch and see where we are, and we'll continue to, you know, look, Bloomington's doing great. Sometimes when people don't like it, I say, well, where else would you like to live? Tell me where you'd rather live than Bloomington, you know? And if you show me a better place, then I'll take notes. But it's a great place. We got a lot good going on. The jobs are increasing. The wages are going up. The quality of life is good. And sometimes we just say, please, just don't look at us. Just let us keep doing what we're doing, you know, and we'll keep plugging.
And just the right amount of crazy. That's how when people say, what goes on there? I say, just the right amount of, and I mean that in a good way. Heck, I would have it'll be 30 years for me in August. I've put my money where my mouth is. It'll 30 years. 30 years.
There you go.
Hard to believe I moved here when I was 2. I know it's tough to reconcile all of that. We always thank you for your joining us. Always all in your candor on these issues. I know you are not going to be retained as mayor. You've not to, but we've got plenty to do before you go. And this another busy Tuesday in the books. Have a great weekend. Stay dry. Stay warm. Let me do it this way. Today is perfect. Tomorrow, grab your suntan lotion. Thursday, grab your suntan lotion. Friday, grab your bumper sol or bumper sol. What do they call that? Parasol, bumper chute, umbrella.
Bumper chute.
There you go. And Saturday, you'll need to put in all your winter gear.
Oh boy!
Again, and then by the time we talk next Tuesday, it'll probably just be a normal spring day.
Mike, it's always a pleasure. Everybody have a good and safe week for this very busy weekend. Keep watch over each other, and I'll be talking to you next week. Thanks a bunch.